You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
I'm very burdened about our church tonight as we're approaching 50 years. It's a great milestone. But tonight we begin a series, and we're going to be in the book of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and Titus. It's called the Pastoral Epistles, those three letters. They're written to Timothy and Titus, two men that Paul had won to Christ. And I want to begin a series tonight, The Marks of a Mighty Church. I want North Valley Baptist Church to be a mighty church. Yes. I'm talking about a mighty church in every endeavor. Tonight, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for these great people, all they've accomplished. And I thank you for what they're doing. Now we end this and we go to Pastors and Workers Conference. Give us laborers to sign up to help and to sing in the choir and to be in their spot and play their instruments. And I pray that we would drive the shuttle buses and host people and make it a wonderful 4 days together, Sunday through Wednesday. God, I pray your blessing upon this series now as we begin The Marks of a Mighty Church. For I ask this prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I don't know if you are going to stand before God for this church. Perhaps you will at the judgment seat of Christ. I know that I am going to stand before Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, obey them that have the rule over you. And again, the rule doesn't mean that I'm the dictator. In fact, it means just the opposite. If I'm a true shepherd, I'm to be a servant to God's people. And the older I get, and the longer I pastor here, I don't want to rule anything. I want to be a kind, godly, God-fearing pastor. But obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls. That's my job. I want to watch for your souls. You college students that are here, I want to watch for your souls. You college students here and throughout the house, my job is to watch for your souls. You're still young. You still have the potential of making wrong decisions. And you have the potential to make right decisions. I don't want to tell you everything what to do. That's not my job. But my job is to help you make wise decisions. So God's word says to obey them that rule over you and they watch for your souls. Here it is. For they must give an account to God. I believe with all my heart, Brother Van Dyke, I am going to stand before a holy God and give an account of this local assembly. I'm going to give an account of what kind of Sunday school teachers we had here, what type of bus workers we had here, what type of choir members we had, what kind of ushers, what kind of deacons. I'm responsible for the membership. I'm responsible for the nurseries, and I'm responsible for every area of this ministry. God says, I'm to watch for your souls because I am going to give an account of my ministry one day at the judgment seat of Christ. With that in mind, tonight we begin this series on Marks of a Mighty Church. And I want you to read as you're seated there. Well, let's stand together, shall we? 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's read verses 1 through 10. Let's pause at the commas and stop at the periods. And let's stay together as we read 1 Timothy 1, 1 through 10. Ready? Begin.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by commandment of God our Savior,
of fables and endless genealogies, which answer questions.
You may be seated. The word that you just read there in verse 10, the last two words of verse 10 is the marks of a mighty church. What are the last two words? Sound doctrine. Say it together. Sound doctrine. Look at verse number 3. I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that thou mayest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Sound. The word sound is the word healthy. It's RFK is what it is. RFK, Robert Kennedy, is our new food and drug administrator. He says that his goal is to make America healthy again. He's talking about the dyes in our cereal, and there's only 40 countries that will receive our food, but most countries won't receive American food because the dyes and all that's put into it. And they said, we don't want that with our children. And we're we spend more in health care than any other nation, and we're the most unhealthy nation. That's what the word sound means. It means healthy. And I pray for him. I pray for him every day that his ministry would be a ministry of trying to bring health to our country. I want you to pray for him. I want you to pray for all these leaders with President Trump, that their job would be made easy. I want you to know that sound means healthy. Sound means what? Healthy. And the next word is doctrine. What is doctrine? Doctrine is teaching. God says, I want you to have healthy teaching. This church, the marks of a mighty church, marks of a great church, is sound, healthy teaching the Word of God. That's God's desire for this church. God's desire is that we not come up with some transvestite, homosexual, do your own thing, contemporary worship. No, it's God's plan that we have sound doctrine in this church. The death, the burial, the resurrection, that is sound doctrine. You know, most churches don't even believe in the death of Christ or the resurrection of Christ or the soon coming again, eschatology, they call that a doctrinal term, where that Jesus is coming again. And he is coming again. We believe in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the doctrine of separation. We believe in the doctrine of pneumatology, that is the Holy Spirit. We believe in the hermetology, the doctrine of sin and the doctrine of mankind. We believe that around because we believe the Bible. And tonight I want to try to focus these few moments on sound or healthy doctrine. There's a lot of false teaching out here today. Look at chapter 1, verse 19. Holding faith and a good conscience with some, this first generation Christian, some have put away concerning the faith and made shipwreck. And he gives the names of two people, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they learn not to blaspheme. Here in the church, he said, let me just name it for you so you know. These two guys were bringing doctrinal heresy into the church, the first generation. And he said, I'm naming them out right now. I like that. I like what the Bible says in chapter 6, if you'll go there, in chapter 6 and verse 20. Chapter 6, verse 20. Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so-called, which, watch it, with some professing have erred concerning the faith. Even in this first generation church, corruption came. Paul was writing in the book of Acts, chapter 20, and he said, after my departure shall grievous wolves come in among you, not sparing the own flock. Also they'll speak perverse things. Colonel, the Bible says in these last days there'll be perverse things. There'll be deceivers, Matthew chapter 4, 24, coming into the church with deceiving gospel, a deceiving truth. Look what it says in 2 Timothy, please. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 8. Verse 7 says, ever learning and ever able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. He said, we've got some folks. Now historically we have these two in Moses' day, but we've got them in our own assembly. Look what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. When it's the good thing and when it's not so good. When people want to hear it and when people just preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove. That is the word discover error. My job is to discover error. Rebuke. My job is to deal with the error I discover. And exhort. That's to encourage after I've rebuked and reproved and rebuked. Then I have to encourage you. That's what God's word says. With all long-suffering and with what? And with what? What'd you say? Doctrine. Teaching. Because the time will come, verse number 3. For the time will come when they will not endure. What's the next two words? Sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Turn with me to the next book, Titus. Titus chapter 1. Verse number 9, holding fast faithful word as it had been taught, that which may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly, vain talkers and deceivers, especially in those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped. Go back to 1 Timothy, please. You're listening so well tonight. There's so much false teaching. And Paul says, I want you to have sound, healthy doctrine. Look again, if you will, in chapter 1, verse number 3, that they teach no other doctrine. Look at verse 10. Any that there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Chapter 4, verse number 6, please. Let's read verse 6 together. Ready? Begin. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, look at verse 13. Read it, please. Ready? Begin.
Till I come.
Every time he's talking about doctrine. Read verse 16, please. Ready? Begin. Take heed unto thyself. Chapter 5, verse 17, let's read it. Ready, begin.
Let the elders that rule well.
Chapter 6, verse number 1, would you read it, please? Let as many servants. How about verse number 3? Let's read it together. Ready, begin. Doctrine is important. The teaching of the word of God is important. Go to 2 Timothy in chapter number 3, please. Doctrine is important. He's talking to preachers here, and he's saying, preachers, keep your doctrine straight. There's nothing wrong with an old-time religion type of church. There's nothing wrong with a songbook in the church. There's nothing wrong with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart to God. There's nothing wrong with lifting your voice. It's the word, a Greek word, keruk, to lift your voice and speak with authority and preach the word of God. Amen. Nothing wrong with it. My Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, let's read verse 10. Notice the word doctrine again. Ready, begin.
Amen.
what if we could read verse 16, chapter 3, verse 16, 2 Timothy. Ready? Begin. I read already verse 2 and verse 3 about long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. Titus chapter 1, verse number 9, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. Chapter 2, verse 1, read it please. Ready? Begin. But speak thou the things. How about verse number 10, verse number 7? Ready? Begin. How about verse 10? Ready? Begin. You see, tonight, child of God, I am not ashamed that I'm an independent, fundamental, separated Baptist. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed that we have Sunday school still. And we're to continue to have Sunday school. It's worked for over 200 years. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, ask for the Reamers in publication. Sunday school is about a thing of the past in independent, fundamental, separated Baptist churches. It's already, Sunday school's gone with the Methodist. There's no such thing as Sunday school in the Methodist church, in the Presbyterian church, in the Congregational church. There's no such thing as in the Baptist church and the Southern Baptist church, the Northern Baptist church. There's no such thing as a Sunday school. There's no such thing. Why would you not want people studying the Bible all week, praying over their students, and teaching them the Word of God on Sunday? No, we believe in the Sunday school here. When America was founded, one of the first things they founded was, after they had got they established a church and had a church in their community. And then they began, they said, we need to have a college, a Bible college. So in 1638, they began a place called Harvard University. It was a Bible college. 58% of its graduates became preachers of the gospel. And when it began to corrupt from 1638 to 1701, the Presbyterians said, we need to start a Bible college because we don't like the corruption we're seeing. They're drinking on that campus. They were drinking on Harvard's campus, a Bible college, training men and women for the ministry. And so they started, the Presbyterians started Yale University, right not very far from your home, Brother Reamers. And Yale was a great place. And all the 10 Ivy League schools were Bible colleges. All with the purpose of Christianizing the heathen Indians of America. And all with the purpose of taking the gospel to the world. And in its tenets, it says every student must be proficient in the Bible and must read and pray twice a day. That's what a student in their college had to do. But now we don't even have Sunday school. Sunday night, Brother Lawman, is a thing of the past. The Presbyterians aren't open Sunday night. The Lutherans aren't open Sunday night. The Methodists aren't open Sunday night. The Congregationalists aren't open Sunday night. The Southern Baptists are not open on Sunday night. And we're open on Sunday night. I dare say in the Silicon Valley and the Bay Area, there's 9 million people in the Bay Area. I doubt if there are 5 churches open on Sunday night in the entire Bay Area, 9 million people. What's sound about that? What's healthy about that? You try to go on one meal a week.
That's right, Pastor.
You try to eat one meal a week for 2 weeks, for 3 weeks, for 4 weeks, for a month. You try to do that and see how healthy you are. You're not going to be healthy. I'm glad I'm an independent.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm a Baptist. I'm glad we have Sunday school. I'm glad we have Sunday morning, and we always have an invitation. I know it's not a lot. I'm ashamed, But we had three men come forward this morning, three adult men, and got saved. Praise God for those three men. And you add up all the ministries, scores of people got saved today. I want to say thank God for an invitation. And Sunday night, we're back tonight. The place is packed. And we're back on Wednesday night. We're not going to do without. God's house is so important. We're not doing without this songbook. And we're not going to start singing these new little ditties either. There's nothing wrong with what we sang tonight, Brother Martinez. How firm a foundation ye saints of the Lord is laid for, and his word is excellent word. The great hymns of the faith got to the theme of their song almost immediately. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. I know that we're having graduates of our Golden State Baptist College. They're doing such a good job on the mission field all around the world. They're doing such a good job. And we have over 50 out on the mission field. We have over 50 that are pastoring churches now. That's amazing. They're doing such a good job. But I know that many are watching tonight. They don't have Sunday night. You're still a Golden State graduate. We still love you. You're still welcome here. But for me and my house, we're going to keep Sunday night open. And after my departure, when God takes me home and God lets me pull back the curtain and I look down and I see Sunday night and it's empty, I'm coming after you. Because we're going to keep this thing going. Yes. We're going to keep running buses, yes, the greatest soul winning tool that America's known. Look at all these bus kids up here. All the hope of this nation are those bus kids up there. They're gonna know that there's a church that loves them. And they're going to teach them and preach to them. All these girls that sang here tonight, all graduates of our school, our elementary and our junior high and our high school, all of them singing here tonight. All those boys singing, all were born here, all raised here. I want you to know, child of God, it's working. I want you to know that Worldwide Missions is still working. And we're sending people out, and the sun never rests on our church. I want to remind you that old-time dress still works. Men dress like men, and ladies dress like women. It works. Now, everybody comes to our church doesn't dress that way, but they ought to come. We have them all sorts of things coming. I don't care. Our church is not a good church if we don't have that represented. We're not going to go contemporary around here. We're not going to. And so consequently, Brother Flood, I do not read. I get books almost every week because we're a publications ministry here. And these guys are writing books. They're flying off the shelves. But if the man's not quoting from a King James Bible, I'm not going to read it. I throw it right in the garbage. If a man just does not believe in Sunday school and Sunday morning, Sunday night, what is that? I'm not going to read it. Acts 4:20 says, we cannot help but speak the things we have seen and heard. I'm not going to put my eyes on that stuff. I don't want to be like it at all. I came here 50 years ago. 51 years ago, I wrote what I believed. Brother Van Dyke, I wrote down and said, here's what I believe and here's what I'm going to preach. And for 50 years, this church has stayed the same. Amen. And we're not going to change now. It's too late. I want to say tonight that The other churches can have contemporary services and rock and roll service. They can have whatever they want, and they are going to answer to God. I'm not going to answer to God for that church. They are going to answer to God. But I'm going to answer to God for this church. Let's stand together, please. Our Father, tonight, I thank you for our church. May we be a mighty church, the marks of a mighty church. May we be sound in the faith, sound in our doctrine. God, put it in the teenagers' hearts. Put it in their hearts that they would want to keep this thing right. I thank you for all the people that work on our staff and the generation that they have passed. They got it, Lord, in elementary, in junior high, in high school, and in college here. They got it, and they put it in their heart, and now it's part of their fiber. And God, may it continue in this church for a lifetime. So bless our teenagers. Bless these bus kids tonight. God, I pray that they would hold to old-time religion. I pray that we would see great things happen even tonight. Thank you for this marvelous, marvelous evening. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you need to come forward, will you come? Praying for pastors' conference. Praying for tonight. Praying for our church. It would not change. Cannot change, folks.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.